November 11th, 2014, regular meeting.
Yeah, the first one I... It's been a wild week.
He called you?
He texted me.
He texted. Okay, we'll call meeting to order.
My pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we get started, I want everybody, if they have any cell phones, to turn them on vibrate if you would. I want to take this opportunity to welcome anybody who may be in the Scott, which I know, and thank them for their services and dedication to our American states. And I think Diane had something to say.
I've just got a few words here about Veterans Day. We honor those who have died, many boys who gave up their chance to be old men. They gave up everything. They were good men with good hearts, the best of us. Our soldiers need our support and gratitude on Veterans Day and every day. God bless the defenders of our free nation, and may we never take it for granted.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you. Okay, we'll move right along here. Get to the secretary minutes. We'll start off with October 14th. These were sent out to you, text. We had corrections from Mr. Boulder and Mr. Oswald. And is there any more corrections that anyone can see that needs to be corrected?
Make a motion to accept them.
You make the motion, but I'll discuss it.
Huh?
You make the motion, but I want some discussion.
There's a motion to accept the minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, is there discussion?
Second, I'll discuss it.
Okay.
Line 70, 79.
Page 079? Okay.
No, yeah, line 79. I don't think the word projects needs to be in there. First word in the sentence.
That's line 80?
It could be 80. It changes when we work on them.
Got
yeah,
it.
That,
thank you.
Line 80. That's okay.
I think it was supposed to be like possessive noun, like projects, like apostrophe S receipts, but we're dropping projects, it's no problem. Yes,
okay, it's my fault. Apostrophe S, yeah. Drop.
Anybody else?
Line 206 or 207.
Okay.
We need to put something better in there than a bid came in late today.
Okay.
For those who look back in history, it could be, this is under review since the bid came in late.
Got it. Dropped today. Thank you. Everyone who sent me revisions, those all went in.
Thank you.
And yours are in? Yeah, yours are in, so I emailed it out.
Thank you, I'm sorry.
You're welcome, so it's in your inbox.
Any more corrections? Okay, motion's been made on the floor to accept the minutes, seconded by Eric. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Ayes have it. The minutes for October 14th has been accepted. Now we have October, no, this, I'm sorry, this is, yeah, October 14th, and the next one is for October 22nd.
Jessica, did you happen to review that part that I was in question about there, and if you didn't have time?
Yeah, I think you asked me, did Bob Green and you both say that both parcels would need separate meters, and you both did say that?
Oh, oops, no, I meant back up to the part of the operations manager job description, up on the first page. We're on the special meeting, right? On the 22nd.
What number are you at?
Lines 26 through 32.
Okay.
And I think it's unlikely that I would have said that 3 years is too long.
I believe you said that because prior work experience counted toward the license, to give the candidate 3 years to receive the license was too long. But if you'd like me to change that, everyone else was in this meeting with me. Perhaps someone else could speak up.
But I remember I quoted the rules on acquiring a Class A waterplane operator's license, and then I know I made mention of that on a case-by-case basis, that there is a board, a group of folks at the EPA that takes these requests on a case-by-case basis. I don't know verbatim, I have no idea exactly what I said, but I'm recalling this. All I'm saying is that the part that says Todd Fuller felt that 3 years was too long, I find it unlikely that I said that, but you listened to the tapes.
No, that's a good, we can drop that sentence. How would you like the sentence to read?
Well, you know, something along the lines of, recited the rules from what I had in my head about, you know, about what it takes to get a Class A license, that it takes 3 years of hands-on experience, which every water plant operator knows.
Oh, then, you're reading it like it takes 3 years too long to obtain it.
Well, what you're saying, Todd, is about what the EPA said, 3 years hands-on experience. However, that can be cut in half, or however that board sees your experience.
It all depends.
Like if you had an education, a degree, or on-site experience, that could be cut. But 3 years is a max.
You spoke about the 3 years as a condition of employment, not as a condition to receive the licensure. The 3 years applied to the condition of employment, not the licensure. But it doesn't sound that way in the sentence. So.
Okay.
Do you remember talking about that?
Just strike that.
Yeah, we're
whole
striking
sentence.
It. It's fine.
Okay. It just doesn't look right to me. And again, I'm, you know, whatever I babbled, I'm sure I didn't babble that. You know, and it's just kind of the way you got it typed. It just don't sound right, because I know what the rule is, and I know what it takes to be a water plant, you know, Class A water plant operator, and I wouldn't have said that I feel that 3 years is too long to get your license.
No, you said 3 years was too long for the candidate to be able to obtain the license.
Okay.
But it doesn't read that way in the sentence.
Okay.
So we're just going to drop the sentence that starts on line number 28.
I guess.
Would you still like to see it written within the candidate's job description as a condition of employment?
Well, I think that, you know, my feeling, my personal feeling is that, you know, the 3-year, it's preferred but not required. That's what that's where I stand all along on this. You know, if you say, you know, Class A license only, you know, it's going to, there's only about 2,000 of us in this state. So, you know, you're going to narrow down the candidates. But I don't know. I need a few more seconds to think about this. I don't, you know, but...
Why don't I write it that you would like to see it preferred?
Yeah, that's great. That's simplified. And I'm sorry, but I, you know...
Is there anything else to... Anyone else? Anything else?
Now, did we talk about the, was the, now you started to say the part about the serving two houses and things like that. I thought that was in the regular meeting minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
And you both did bring it up.
Okay. That's all I need to hear on that.
Mr. Green had a story with it.
No problem. So my main concern just is this paragraph here.
Okay, is there a motion to accept the... Special Board meeting minutes of October 22nd.
I'll make a motion to accept the meeting minutes on October 22nd.
As corrected.
As corrected.
Yes. Do I have a second?
Second.
Is there a discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. The minutes of October 22nd approved. Mr. Dalton, your report.
Everybody got a copy?
I'm glad you did.
Mr. Dalton, did you get
the copy?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Stuff at the plant. We're looking at the dehumidifiers. We had one of our existing ones decided it's going to stop. But we're working on getting the, I also want to look at getting the alum, we'll put the alum in. That seems to be what tends to clog the filters and makes the dehumidifiers work harder. So we're looking at trying to get that vented to the outside of the building.
Did we stop using alum quite some time ago, and now we're starting to use it again? Is that correct?
I don't know, time-wise one, but the guys have got that they load in.
Okay.
We can't stop using them in the process.
Okay.
Part of our process.
So there's a bid for that's attached, and it's over 3,000, so we're looking at trying to get some additional bids on that so we have that documentation for you. Gutters. I included what we had before, and the one from Rain Guard. They also sent a note to the guest about the snow block coming in and, on both sides of the building. That would be about an additional $1,860 for that. And then the back of that one from Rain Guard is one from Gibson's, which has another bid in there for that component.
Pedals? Plated? $13,000?
That's copper. For the new gutter tonight.
Copper? I know what's Rain Guard's bid. It's not new gutter. It's just to replace for a patch, isn't it?
Well, theirs is installed seamless gutters on the front. And it's got the gauge and stuff on there, so I was trying to see the one in the back has a 24 gauge. He's got a 32.19 for the downspouts. Six downspouts. So it looks like rain guard is still a, even though the total is, even with the snow blocks, it's still less than the other years. Did you have any other input on that, Cheryl, about the comments you guys were okay?
Bob, you got on the Dixon bid, that's $13,745.
Right.
Or Cheryl contact him about putting the snow guards up to, or was that included? I don't see where
it doesn't look like that's included because that came in earlier.
Yeah. That is included or is not included?
I don't see it noted on there, so I can't.
Right.
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay, and the rain guard? That's $2,048.
Well, it depends on which option you pick. You're either at the...
Yeah, you got... Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't see that right.
Yeah, you got two options there, and then plus if you want the snow block items on there, that's another
$1,860. So if we got the gutters from this rain guard company. Right here. And we included the $1,860 for the snow stops. That would be a lot less than the Dixon proposal.
Right.
$13,000. And he's not even including
right.
The snow stops. And rain guard, Bob, the way I read it, I guess this is both sides of the building.
Yeah, he's got an option one that's he's got. There's listed the front and the back. And option two, it just talks about in the front.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I think if they're both front and back. One's got downspouts and one doesn't.
Oh, I see. Install white gutters. Well, it says install white gutters on the back, but it doesn't have downspouts. I see where the difference is. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Well, it looks like our rain guard would be our cheapest bed.
On Dixon's, it says project gutter replacement. It says revised due to denied union resolution 78 application.
I don't know what that is. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's just put this under new business, and we'll talk about that later. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. We had the lagoons cleaned, and while they were here, they were guys from Merrill Brothers indicated that spring would probably not, they would not have a spot for placement. We're hoping to get as much as we could out right now.
Absolutely.
Where that ended up with us.
I actually came over and told them to do it, get it out as much as you can right now. And they did, they followed through, did a great job.
So they got it all cleaned up?
Yeah.
Good. In regards to, do we know what that will cost, or are they going to work with us?
They're going to work with us. Cheryl will arrange it, I believe, to split it up.
He's not called, but he said he will split the bill if necessary.
So I can carry possibly in the next fiscal part of it, so.
I did want to mention they did not get to scraping the side, but the expense of that was going to be far too great for us, so.
But at least we got it all cleaned up.
Yes. I mean, they did somewhat of a job, but it wasn't properly done.
Okay. All right, that's good.
It's nice to have it done.
USDA loan application, Max has got some additional information on that that he'll be talking about. Based upon the information we got from CWLP. The Village of New Berlin Interconnect. Jim and Eric, Max and I met with Joel Sander, who's on both the Village Board for New Berlin and on the South Salmon Water Commission Board. And then Jim and Max and I attended the South Salmon Water Commission Board at their meeting. And I think Max had indicated that he thought most of that funding was going to go strictly to New Berlin. I thought from what the meeting was talking about that it was going to be just taken off the top and we were going to split it. Now, whether that's, we may have heard it differently. So, Jim, I don't know what you heard, but that's.
I was under the impression that they would donate $20,000 to the pump. And we didn't know what New Berlin was.
What the split was.
It was going to do just yet.
While we were in that meeting, there was a discussion. Dan Held had talked about, interaction of the two entities to help each other. He wanted to know if, where we were with the plant manager. And I said, well, we're still in the process. We're trying to get somebody. So he thought, if he could help with that, and maybe the guys here could help him. But as we got into the meeting and had a discussion, other than maybe in this interim time, picking up some of the things that we're having contracted out right now, I didn't take it that he had the time available to do any more than that. Is that kind of what you got, Jim, from that discussion?
Right. He had no vacation, and the other guy that was working there is no longer working there.
Right.
So they're under the gun there.
And then we had the meetings regarding Menard Rural Water. We were trying to get a joint meeting set up for November 24th, but I don't know where that sits currently, because I've had some emails come in about suggesting other dates. Cheryl or Jim, have you heard any more on?
He has had two deaths in the family, so he's requested to get with me again next week. So.
Okay.
I have your.
That's Wayne dates. Or one of the other guys?
Wayne,
okay. So we were trying to have a joint meeting of the two boards, potentially at the Gardner Township Hall, because that's close enough for the folks in Salisbury, north of Salisbury area, to come down to it. Because the other places that they typically meet in Petersburg are the Farm Bureau building, the basement of that, that they thought might get a little tight, so they were looking for a little more space.
And
we're trying to see if we can get that scheduled in there. That's available.
I give Cheryl all the dates that are available.
Okay.
She's got all that. We just got to come up with a date now.
And that was actually for a public meeting?
Yeah. Right.
For all the residents.
Oh, we're gone.
Right.
Got it.
Right.
And one of the items, I just wanted to make sure we find out what the board wanted to do here. So next page, item B. Our ordinance 57 indicates that 8 inches good for anything larger than 8 inches. So as we're going up that way, if we're going to change and go to 6 and paper any bigger than 6, then I think everybody wants to know that ahead of time so that as we have those interactions with those folks, but if 8's going to, if we're going to stay with that ordinance, then we know what we're doing as far as working with them on costs and those kinds of things.
I think Max said that we'd prefer to stay with the 8-inch.
Right, right, because it gets us fire flow capability.
Right.
The other one that I'd like to have you look at is number 8 down there, and I've included it's kind of an 11x17 sheet that's in the third report. In Technology Park, which is where Mellow Cream is located in that area. So one of the spots there is where Alcifer is going to move into one of the lots there on the north side. And what's currently laid out, or what was proposed anyway that came to us, was to have two private lines serving, going back to fire hydrants. And while it's on their property, I would think we would still mortgage for the main and district ownership and have it be in there as an easement. The water main up to the fire hydrant, at least that far, would still remain ours. We would be responsible for maintenance on the fire hydrants and maintenance on the main. We'll make sure that, you know, that it's going to function like it's supposed to and needs to be tested and those kinds of things. And I just am a little leery of putting that in private. Yeah, responsibility. So we've got to keep it and have a dedicated easement for that purpose.
Wouldn't that easement, Bob, be bigger, like 20 feet on each side?
Yeah, 20 feet either side of the main, so that there's enough room for it. We have to go in and work on it and those kinds of things.
Yeah. Would that be 40 feet during construction, then 20 feet after construction, or...
We can probably, whatever the board would like to have done there, we can probably work with them on that and get that resolved. I just don't want to get it so tight that, you know, that they build up tight to it. Like if you had a building going in next to it and
right.
10 feet of it, you know, it gets a little tight to get in there and fix anything. But here we're not, you know, what their plan is currently, they're not going to be that tight to the building.
Yeah. But you never know what the future... You know, right. 40 feet, I think, would be good all the way around.
If we were in Farmfield or something.
Yeah, it'd be different, Okay.
So, Bob, where you have PUB, period, that's the ones we're going to own and maintain?
Those are the ones that they had shown as being where the public ones would have be where they were showing, and north of there into the property, they were anticipating those being private. And what I'm recommending is that those not be private either, that those also be public.
Okay. Are they okay with that? We don't know.
But that's why I'm coming to you first.
We're not going to allow putting fire hydrants, putting our fire hydrants in public and private property and having private ownership and private maintenance of it is a bad deal. There's no way that our district is interested in that. I'm not 100% sure how we're going to do the water main past the meter pit. Are you thinking that the main is going to be ours also up to and including the fire hydrant all the way into the private property?
So that the meter could come off of that someplace else. It doesn't have to. That was my thought, Todd.
Yeah,
just to make it easier for them, and we have it that it's all the fire hydrant and main that's going to be ours to be responsible for.
It has to be. It's too much trouble doing it the other way, letting them guys maintain them, and we have to keep ownership the whole way. Anywhere where there's an actual main, it's got to be ours under our maintenance.
Okay, I understand that part. So even if it goes on the private property,
as long as we have any dedicated easement, we're clear. We're okay.
Right.
Now, where these mains, where these mains are going into these buildings, you know, there's going to have to be there's going to have to be a spot there where we end and they start. At the village, we have trouble. We've got water mains going through school complexes. We've got water mains going into inside buildings, and then a meter in the building. Oh. Big mess. You know, we want to keep all that outside of buildings, and we want to be responsible up to and including at a certain point where it enters the building, but obviously nowhere, you know, not in the building. So I'm not exactly sure how we need to write this up in the easement.
I can see your point there, just taking it up close.
We already have Midwest, this insurance company down there. We ran a water main back there and put a fire hydrant in. We've got the schoolhouse.
Okay.
Same way.
Okay.
And we've got Terry Farmers.
Okay. Well, last one I did, remember, we put the first hydrant in on Brafton Road for that insurance place.
I ran all back down there for it.
Okay. All I'm saying is, it's just, we got to get it
we just won't have no mains inside the building. It'd be their responsibility.
Right.
We could take it up to it. But anything inside, if they have a main underneath the floor.
We don't care about that.
Yeah, okay. That's good enough. So, all right. So you need clarification on that?
The consensus of the board is fine with me. You don't need necessarily have a motion. I just want to make sure that that's what you want.
I think that's where everybody feels that we should have a main right up to the building, but anything inside the church. How about you, Eric?
I'm fine. Can we get 40 feet of easement through there, or are we going to have to consider 20? I mean, the sewer's right there next to it, it looks like.
Well, it doesn't have to be just our, it can be utility easement. I don't want to be more than one thing with it. They've got to have 10 feet of horizontal separation between the water main and the sewer anyway.
Yeah, that hydrant on the, I'm looking at the sheet on the left-hand side. Where's the rest of that main goes? Is that a little outbuilding?
Right, we've got a little outbuilding out there.
Okay.
So yeah, that would change, you know, where that meter pit is and how they're going to do their services to the buildings and those kind of things. But I think I want to continue the conversation with them, but I want to make sure I'm
It's okay there, or another thought would be is if in this case you have to have 2 meters, but if you could put the meter between, you know, right on the outside of the building, but then we'd have to have 2 meters.
Just one on that, off that west main.
And that's fine, but then we'll have to, when we're flushing hydrants, we'll have to consider deducting water from there. You know, they're going to be charged for all that when we're out flushing hydrants, and we'll have to keep track of that and deduct it off their water bill, I would assume.
Well, I was just thinking north of where they're showing that hydrant on the west side, that would be the end of the main. And then they could put their meter right there, right off the end of it. But we'll work with them on that.
Otherwise, your meter size is going to get huge.
Right.
Be able to support fire flow, back to what you talked about before, and having a compound meter.
Yeah, okay. So, well, all right, yeah.
Okay, we'll work with them on that.
Good enough.
Let's see. What else do we got? Skeeter. Oh, yeah, the skeeter. Next, where would you like to go? Are we ready to?
Well, after I got your report, I fired a phone call to Tom and went to his voicemail. He called me back about 45 minutes later, and I passed this on to Cheryl. And Cheryl indicated the same thing, that there had been radio silence. I got a different story from Tom. Tom Otto's the president of AAC. He said that they had addressed the two most critical punch list items in the comm faults and one of the programming issues. So I relayed back to him our concern that, you know, the system's still not compliant with, you know, all the punch list items being resolved, and it's been too long. He expressed to me that they felt like their interaction with, I think, Mike McCarthy was the main person he'd been dealing with, that the system was functioning and the rest of the items were just cleanup issues that could be addressed at their convenience. And I, again, relayed to him that we want them all taken care of. So he explained that they are wrapping up a job this week, and he said that I can have, I being AAC, being
able to come down the week after is what he is anticipating to address his items. So I passed along to Cheryl, and apparently after this correspondence, he had done a remote connection and had done some software changes. During our conversation, we talked about one of the issues was this comm fail where the SCADA system was reporting a communication loss between the sites and flagging an error message. Tom said, we inherited the radios that were in there. We were working with what was there and just replaced the PLCs. We didn't change the radios. So either way, it's got to work. So he said what they had initially tried is interjecting a buffer into this system that would essentially not alert a fail on first comm drop. It would revert to a secondary communication path and retest to see if the path was reestablished. And he said typically on a like a water tower reading, those levels don't change rapidly. They don't like to go more than 15 minutes, and I agree. A longer than 15-minute delay needs to be an error. So he was going to go back and reevaluate that programming, and he said they also added a trap, and I assume that's a hardware feature in the antenna cabling, but he didn't clarify that. He indicated that they'd got some things they could try to help smooth out those issues. And apparently that was some of the programming that they could have done remotely. To summarize, I've had verbal assurance from him they'll be here within the next week to resolve these items. I would suggest that if they're not, that the board consider alternative action, because you've got to get the stuff resolved. And they've, in my opinion, they've taken too long to get all this stuff cleaned up.
Max, when was the date that they were supposed to have this done?
I apologize, I don't have the contract documents with us. Stop bringing it if you want it. It was several months ago. So they're, you know, they have to hit the substantial completion milestone for the system to be operational, which they did, but in terms of final completion, I think in terms of normal grace periods are well beyond that.
It appears to me that it seems like every time we have an issue with the SCADA, there's always something going down. I mean, minor thing, glitches here and there, and they're going to come down and fix it, and they don't get down here. And I'm, you know, we paid a lot of money for this.
Right.
What, about $98,000 or something like that for it? And they're way behind. I think we need to have our attorney to dress up a letter and send them and just let them know that, you know, we're tired. We're tired of this.
Well, in the long term, and you kind of spoke to this early on of having Mr. Lee kind of shadow for training purposes, and I'd be curious to see how comfortable he is on some of, I don't know how deep he got into the programming aspects. Typically, once the software is programmed and the logic is essentially built into the system, that stays pretty static. That programming doesn't change a lot. So if Mr. Lee is comfortable with how things interconnect, I'd like to see, just from an emergency response standpoint, how comfortable he would be to come in on midnight on a Friday and start making stuff work again. I've not had that interaction with him to know how comfortable he is, but I think that'd be worth everyone's while to make sure that the plan B is actually a workable plan B.
And we definitely need to do that. Definitely need to ask Joe if he's, I'm sure, you know, as far as the components and you know, he's an extremely well-versed electrician, but to find out how much time he's spent alongside and to know, you know, get to gauge his comfort level, which I'm sure, I hope he spent some time here. We asked him, you know, I hope the communication got to him that he needs to be here and learn and help and see.
And then the follow-up to that is if you have to go to, who's your ultimate vendor to go to? The other bidder, possibly? I think they're pretty much been apples and apples. The downside is they're nearly as far away.
Meaning that I'm unclear. Meaning that if we can't get satisfaction out of company A, we're just going to say the hell with you guys and go to company B and start all over again?
not start all over again, but finish the punch list items.
Finish it, and and so, help my memory, did we pay them some kind of maintenance fee or ongoing this or that as far as the...
I think you're holding the last check, according to the minutes.
We're holding the last check.
I
don't think you're paying an annual to them, though.
Not like you brought
them. There is no annual on that.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Yeah, but...
We're just holding 10%.
You know, short of having somebody local that deals with that same program, I guess your next best bet is to bring vendor B back in.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bob, or Max, and Bob, since you guys are both engineers, Max, you're very familiar with the contract. How about you guys get together with CAP and send them a letter? And I don't have to tell you how to word it. I wouldn't be worth a darn anyway, but you guys can know how to do it. But be firm and say, you know, we're tired.
I think you need to stipulate a drop dead date. You know, that's for the attorney to be able to confirm, but they need some motivation.
Did somebody get the contract? First of all,
we already gave the contract.
Pardon?
The drop dead date is already in the contract.
Way past.
Huh?
Isn't it way past?
It's way past.
Yeah, but yeah, if we're going to give them time to get it done, I think that's what Max is. If it's a month out from now, okay, if you don't do that, we're going to go to
30 November is where we're going. Last day of this month.
There's still time.
Then it would be all right if I had the consensus of the board to have Max and Bob get together with our attorney and send him a letter. What do you think? Okay with you? Yeah, I think that's what
we're doing. So if they don't perform, we put the retainage back in the account?
And we use that to get somebody else to come take care of it.
We use that money to pay our legal fee. Okay, go ahead, Bob.
One other item that I distributed to you was a graph and readings from 2012. And this is more just as a means to get some idea of whether this it's a separate sheet, so I start with board numbers.
Oh, I got that.
Looks like that.
Yeah.
Squiggly lines. And so the table sheet that goes with it kind of shows what we're looking at as I make those comparisons. Got it, Jim? Okay. Yep, you got it.
Yep.
So the top line, you know, based on the readings that come in, that's the total flow coming into the plant. And right now this is a monthly kind of thing, and the daily one bounces all over the place so that you get all kinds of stuff going on. So I can give you that if that's what you'd like, but I thought this was a little easier to read. Especially when we then compare it to the finished water that comes out of the plant, and then in relation to that, the amount that, based on the billing that occurs, what we're seeing has been billed. So the table sheet, the thing I'm going to show you on there, if you've got that, you can see finished water, raw water, and Karen Gardner bill. And you can see over to the right, the total amounts that come in and include also the amount that we bill for CWLP, the amount we bill to South Sangamon. And the one I don't have computed in there yet is the bulk sales that occurred during that time. Because at that time we didn't have the meters in place, like at the Bradfordton Road site. So we'll have to look at maybe going back and trying to estimate that based upon the what we received in receipts. But we also had some break-ins during that time, so we're a little short on some cash there that was supposed to come in. So, but anyway, that'll give you some feel for what I'm trying to show it, and I just want to find out if that provides you with what you're looking at. I guess one other thing that I want to show out
About the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th column over is the ratio of the finish to the build. So for those, so like in, for January of that year, that would be like a 7% loss in the system someplace. If we don't, I mean, we may have pumpage that, you know, something of bulk sales may reduce that. But that's what the impact will be. That's where we'll see where that ratio is. What, how are we doing compared to what we finished and how much we built of our water, not counting CWLP and South Saint. And you can think about it if you guys come up with other ideas and say, well, could you do this or could you do that? Let me know. We'll try and get something figured out. But I thought that would give you a clearer picture.
And back in May, we just, something went wrong. 44% loss.
Well, see, that would be, I mean, this is 2012, so this is the year of the drought.
That's when it would be.
So if we were dry and a lot of people were drawing, that's where I don't have the bulk sales number in that column yet. So that would reduce that difference in there because that would have been included. We would have a value to include for that.
And it was gigantic.
Did the golf course turn everything on? Remember, it made water?
Yes. That was a headache.
Yeah. All right, but just information. Let me know if you see something. Well, I'd like to see this, or try and do it, show it a different way, or something.
I'd like to see September every month.
Like to see every month. Huh?
You might get to be like that.
If anyone's got any questions, I'll try to take care of them.
Jim?
Yes, sir.
Based on what we don't understand on what South Sangamon's kicking in, I think we need to go back to the October 22nd minutes and scratch a sentence in there just so we don't nail ourselves to the wall.
October?
Yeah, and that's on page 2, line 80. Eight or 81.
Okay.
I think it should say South Sangamon Water Commission would invest approximately $20,000, period.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Good point. Good point. Anybody else have any questions for our superintendent? Okay. We'll move on to our business manager's report.
I just have a couple of things to add. Selected insurance, we received a renewal for our umbrella policy. I've been updating the information, and Scott's going to help me finish the fiscal stuff. But there's no word on what the premium will be as of yet. I don't anticipate much of an increase.
Okay.
The audit's done.
What was done, Cheryl? I didn't hear it.
The audit has begun.
Oh,
they've been requesting items, and and Scott and I are working on that. And I think everything else has been pretty much covered. The emergency action plan has been distributed to the necessary contacts, Bob and you.
I haven't got mine.
It should be right there in front of you.
Oh, it's right there.
Oh, this here?
Binder. Yep.
Oh, okay.
I think that's it. Just to add to what Bob's reporting.
Good enough. Okay, Max.
I think you got to get back to.
You better come to me.
You might want to
keep going by.
Okay, Scott.